Get the latest Impact Podcast right into your inbox each week. Subscribe by entering your email address at impactpodcast.com to make sure you never miss an interview. This edition of the Impact Podcast is brought to you by ERI. ERI has a mission to protect people, the planet, and your privacy, and is the largest fully integrated IT and electronics asset disposition provider and cybersecurity-focused hardware destruction company in the United States, and maybe even the world. For more information on how ERI can help your business properly dispose of outdated electronic hardware devices, please visit eridirect.com. This episode of the Impact Podcast is brought to you by Closed Loop Partners. Closed Loop Partners is a leading circular economy investor in the United States with an extensive network of Fortune 500 corporate investors, family offices, institutional investors, industry experts, and impact partners. Closed Loop's platform spans the arc of capital from venture capital to private equity, bridging gaps and fostering synergies to scale the circular economy. To find Closed Loop Partners, please go to www.closedlooppartners.com. Welcome to another edition of the Impact Podcast. I'm John Shigarian. I'm so honored to have with us today Shanique Bonelli-Moore. She's the Chief Diversity and Social Impact Officer for the Clorox Company. Welcome, Shanique, to the Impact Podcast.
Hello, John. So thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, honored to have you today. It's Clorox's first time on Impact after doing this for 17 years. And Clorox is such a Americana brand. We were talking a little bit offline when we were getting on, but just some of the brands that you guys own beyond Clorox, the great bleach that we grew up with, that I grew up with, Pine Sol, SOS, Glad, Hidden Valley Ranch, Kingsford, Brix, and I take your Calm Magnesium. That's just among so many of the great brands that you guys represent. So I'm just so honored to have you on today to be having this chat. And before we get going, though, I would just love you to share with our audience and our viewers a little bit about your backstory, Shanique. Where did you grow up and how did you get on this fascinating journey that you're on?
Absolutely. Thank you again. You know, I grew up in a very, very small island, St. Thomas in the Virgin Islands, and I was born and raised there and didn't move to the U.S. mainland until I was 18. Wow. And, you know, when I think about my career in DEI, I think it really ties back and goes back to that early experience living on a very small island and moving to the U.S. at 18. And I think about, you know, what they say, this idea of talent is equally distributed and access isn't. And so when I think about my, you know, transport from the Virgin Islands to the mainland was an opportunity for me to, you know, be accessed, you know, whether I was accessing information or knowledge or I was giving opportunities. And so when I think about this idea of access, I'm a product of that. And so I think that kind of kept with me from my early beginnings to where I am now. You know, I currently live in Los Angeles. I have two beautiful kids, an amazing husband, and I've been at Clorox for the past, you know, 1.5 years. A very, very long career across corporate communications work and DEI, spanning many different industries. So spent some time in entertainment and media, healthcare, CPG. And when I think about my career as a DEI practitioner, certainly started from my early beginnings at GE. So way back when I started off in a leadership program and, you know, this idea of, you know, working and doing rotations across many different businesses in Corp Comms, but I was first introduced to the African American Forum. It's an ERG. Back then we called it affinity groups. And it was there that I saw so many people that looked like me that were doing amazing things. And this idea of really creating a space for folks to grow and thrive and develop, that was where I found my home in the ideas around being developed, being mentored. And it was at that moment I knew the value that diversity or DEI played in a workplace and what it could do, not only for an organization and its success, but also for the people that are part of that organization. And so from that point on, I remember putting it on my vision board, you know, Chief Social Impact Diversity Officer. And, you know, of course, you know, many years later, that's where I'm at today. And so all the roles that I did in between that time was really looking to hone the skills around certainly communications, but also how could I integrate DEI into my world through a lens of organizational design and employee engagement and culture. And so this is where we are today.
Shanique, when you first came to the U.S., I always just love to learn the backstory a little bit more in terms of where did you go first? Where did your family settle first when you came?
Sure. Well, you know, it wasn't my family. So when I think of my family's still back in the Virgin Islands.
Okay.
I come home quite a bit. My parents are there. I have siblings who are still in the Virgin Islands. And so it is still home for me. It's usually what I call home, right? And so, but when I moved to the US, it was for college. So I was at Syracuse University. And so when you think about leaving sunny blue skies, going to upstate New York, cold weather, very shocking, you know, shocking in so many different ways. And the cold in and of itself was jarring. But again, it spoke to just my idea of adaptability, and I knew exactly what I wanted to do. You know, Syracuse has a great program for communications, the Newhouse School, and that was what I had my eyes set on. And so I just trekked up there and spent 4 years at Syracuse. The one story that I always share to folks, and I think this was just my naivete on this idea of cold weather. And so I always, you know, associated sun with heat. And I remember one day in my dorm looking out, and I had class maybe at 10 o'clock, and the sun is just beaming down. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so hot. And so I came out shorts and like a tank top, and it was like maybe 50, 40 degrees. And I just could not. And this was just, again, me being from a very small island, right, and moving to Syracuse, and just didn't even like understand, you know, heat, it can be hot and cold at the same time, right? Or you can see this, you know, beautiful sun. So I just chuckle at that story because it just, you know, speaks to my innocence and just speaks to just the transformation or the transition from moving from one small place to another area and just really looking to adapt and learn. So.
And you ended up at Columbia.
Yes. I did that. Now, I did that while I was working. So at the time, I spent a couple years at NBC Universal, and I really wanted to, you know, go back to school, and found a huge opportunity at Columbia working part time. And so really did that in tandem with my time at NBC, as well as a little bit at AB InBev, and kind of knocked that out in about 2.5 years. But really just look to really amplify the knowledge that I had and really gained some really good networking and friends at Columbia. So,
and back when you were at GE, they were known for their leadership program. Their leadership program was like the platinum program of leadership in America.
It was. And I cut my teeth at GE. It's where I, you know, created, you know, the Shanique brand or the SBM brand. But to your point, the leadership programs at GE were, you know, best practices across industries. And I was part of a communications program, and I remember the first 2 or 3 years of my career, I moved about 8 times, going from rotation to rotation. So, you know, starting in Connecticut, moving to Wisconsin, moving to Atlanta, New Jersey, and just having these rich, varied experiences all within communications. So PR, marcoms, internal communications. At the time, we called it community relations, just really you know, diving into that work and, you know, transforming my career in a significant way. And so really, I look to that experience as really formative years of my professional career and the one thing that I felt, you know, set me apart from other peers that I had, not only in the industry, but, you know, across the board.
Right. So now you end up at the Clorox Company, which is, again, one of the great American iconic brands. Consumer product brands. Your title is Chief Diversity and Social Impact Officer, which is straightforward. But what I've learned from this podcast over the last 17 years or so is titles are one thing, but what they actually mean at the corporation is another, because every corporation, as we know, is a living, breathing organism and has its own history and its own future and its own way of doing business, because its DNA is different from every other organization. So at Clorox, what does your role really mean? And what's your day-to-day look like as Chief Diversity and Social Impact Officer?
Right. No, really fascinating question. You know, sometimes what's on paper doesn't quite manifest in actuality.
Right.
Right. So, you know, I lead, you know, there are two points, you know, components of the role. One is just leading our idea efforts. So for us at Clorox, DEI for us is idea, inclusion, diversity, equity, and allyship. And, you know, we expanded on our work to really encompass allyship equity to our equation. It's really thinking about how can we drive and build a diverse, inclusive culture within our company, but also think about the brands that we have. You alluded to that earlier. So many different brands across the globe that people and consumers love and appreciate. And so how can we reflect the wants and needs of our diverse consumers across the entire globe at Clorox? And so the work that I lead speaks to, you know, internal-facing idea work, external-facing idea work around how do we look and build and grow our consumers with our diverse products and our offerings. And so it's fascinating. What I love to say about the allyship piece, it really brings more people into the conversation. And so we talk about what does allyship mean and to practice allyship. And so this is an opportunity to really give people a place to learn, to grow, and also to act. And so we love using allyship as a way for us to do that. The second part of my job is social impact. And this is, you know, the work that traditionally lands within our philanthropic area, our foundation, our Clorox Company Foundation. I manage that group and the work that happens there, our employee giving practices, our granting program and community grants that we provide in areas where we work and live. And all the employee engagement work around volunteerism, thinking about how do we connect our purpose-driven brands back out there to communities and tying it back into just, you know, this idea of doing social good in the community.
For our listeners and viewers who've just joined us, we've got Shanique Bonelli Moore with us today. She's the Chief Diversity and Social Impact Officer at the Clorox Company. To find Shanique and her colleagues on all the important work they're doing in impact and diversity, please go to www.thecloroxcompany.com. So let's go back. Well, you know, one thing I want to understand a little bit more, because how, you know, is size? How big is Clorox? Without getting into specifics of dollars and cents, just but how big is Clorox in terms of people and places that you have to cover, that you manage, in terms of this is a big role that you have in terms of diversity and impact, and how many people are you touching, and how large is your organization around the world?
Sure, no, very good question. You know, Clorox, that I, you know, we are a mighty company, 9,000 teammates strong across the globe, in many different areas in the U.S., in LATAM, in, you know, UK, in Asia. And so we cover a lot. But what is very striking about Clorox, you know, the company is, you know, medium-sized company, but you think about our brands. Our brands are much larger. Clorox, you said you grew up with Clorox. I have stories about bleach Clorox that, you know, could rival, you know, lots of comical stories. And so you think about the richness of our brands. We're in about 9 out of 10 households in the U.S., all are our brands. So not only Clorox, you think Brita, Burt's Bees, you mentioned Calm Vitamins, you mentioned Charcoal, Kingsford. We have brands that consumers love, right? And so when you think about the breadth and depth of our company, it goes beyond size and it goes beyond the size of our team, but just like the scale of our offerings and what people consume every day. And so in my short time at the company, I've spent a lot of time on the road. And so a big part of what I wanted to do at the very beginning was meet people and be out there. And so I've gone to many of our locations. I've traveled with Linda, our CEO, and some of our other executives to plants. You know, I've been to our cleaning plant. I've been to our Glad plant. I've been to our Burt's Bees plant. I've been to our litter plant that opened last year in West Virginia. In West Virginia. And just, you know, when I think about the lives we're touching, and I think about the people and how passionate they are about our brands and about really building something that, you know, really transcends lots of generations, it's just really amazing to be a part of, and then to witness now from a different vantage point.
You know, someone like you who's had a fascinating, not only classical educational background, Syracuse at the Newhouse School of Public Communications, one of the greatest schools in America in terms of public communication, then Columbia, and then GE, NBC Universal, and Anheuser-Busch, BuzzFeed, then UTA, now at Clorox. You know, the great ones, you know, rely on these two words called pattern recognition, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady. They, you know, they're so good. Their brains get so great at pattern recognition. So walking into Clorox, you already had a brain that would process things in a different way because of pattern recognition, because of what you've seen with the depth of experience that you've had, both classical educational depth and also real life experience depth. What weren't you expecting that has been interesting and a learning process for you in your first year and a half at Clorox?
No, good question. You know, and sometimes I love your spin on the question. Sometimes people ask me why Clorox, and I say why not, right? And so when you get to this stage in your career, right, I think you know the what you're looking for in a role needs to feel a bit more fulfilling. And so there's a couple of things that I looked at, you know, when I was, you know, when the opportunity at Clorox presented itself. I love what the people-centered approach. You know, you talk about values-driven company, purposeful brand that really do good for the community and the world in which we live. Sure. And so when I think about what surprised me, and maybe it wasn't that surprising because I'd done my homework and everybody that I spoke to said the same thing, this idea of how Clorox is truly people-centered and they live it day in and day out, right? And I saw that manifest, and I even saw that manifest in the work of IDEA and our social impact teams. I have a team of 9,000 teammates. That's how big the DEI team. And I say that because the passion that I see across our groups, whether it's within ERGs, whether it's in a department or our leadership, the amount of energy and integration that you see IDEA, that's how deeply embedded it is into our company culture, our brands, how we make decisions and our business ignite strategy. That was truly surprising, right? And so you see IDEA programs or DEI programs, and it's like a la carte, it's on the side, it's within HR. The fact that I report into Linda Rendle, our CEO, is a testament of the importance of the role and the fact that it is integrated into the fabric of our being and our business strategy, Ignite. And so I was really surprised by how much passion, not only passion, because you can have passion, but still not know what to do with that passion. But this idea of operationalizing IDEA and DEI really came to life in an amazing way in which I haven't seen in other places that I've worked. And I love that because I had people who were eager, but I also had people who really began not asking questions about how can I help? Rather, they were asking, here's how I think I can make an impact. So really thinking about the outcomes and what we're looking to solve, really laddering back into, like I said, Ignite, which is our business strategy, and really coming in with solutions, coming in with ideas, and not truly or ultimately relying on my team to come with the answers, but being true thought partners in delivering idea. And that was fascinating and refreshing, especially when you think about how exhausting this work can be and taxing it can be, to know that I have a team of 9,000 teammates, you know, working in support of DEI, which is in support of Ignite, has been amazing and tremendous.
I love it. Is this out of all the wonderful brands that you've worked with historically, is this the first time you have a woman CEO heading up the
organization? Absolutely. And let me tell you, it has been transformational for me personally, for my growth. You know, Linda Rendle, I'm sure you've read up, and Linda Rendle is incredible. She is such a visionary leader that also inspires. I love the fact that we can talk shop, and then at the same token, we talk about our children. You know, it has been transformative to see her lead with such passion and with such execution. I think she is an amazing strategist. You know, Linda knows strategy. I mean, I don't know how to explain how much I've learned from her in the past 18 months. She comes in and she makes things better. She's a hands-on leader. She rolls up her sleeves. She knows a lot. She remembers everything. And it's just been amazing, not only to work with Linda, but you think about our executive team, you know, looking at our annual report, you see our numbers, half of our executive team, 50% women, the same for our board. And so we have a strong history and a strong legacy of really valuing and empowering women. And as a mom of a 7-year-old daughter who believes and knows that she's going to change this world, I love and I appreciate the fact that I am able to see that come to life in my lifetime at Clorox, but also giving my daughter an opportunity to see that. You know, last year during spring break, I took my my daughter with me to Oakland, and we visited our R&D center, and she was so blown away by the R&D. She met lots of scientists and was able to understand how our products were made. And as someone who wants to be a scientist or an engineer and a dancer all in one, it's been tremendous to have an opportunity and an honor to impart that with her. And so as a mother of a daughter, it's been very inspiring. And representation matters, right? And you, so Linda creates for many people not only a door, but an opportunity and a mirror, right? So you see yourself reflected, but you also see an opportunity as you grow and develop your career. So, yes.
Well, a couple of things. First of all, brilliant on you to, good on you to bring your daughter with you, because to me, I raised my children in all the businesses that we were involved with. And it's funny, we don't realize this as parents because we're just sort of, when the kids are young, you're just trying to get through the day. You're trying to just do it. But there is also an aspect where we're larger than life to our children. And especially when they're that tender and that young. And so to bring them and to create an inspirational and aspirational environment for them to see what they really can be and really what they can do. And I think is, you know, good on you, Mom. Number two, it's just, you know, put aside diversity and impact, which we're going to talk about a lot more here, but the importance of that is untold. But think, I now that you're talking about the representation of Clorox in terms of women leadership in positions at Clorox, from a marketing perspective, as I'm thinking about this, it dawned on me while you were sharing the facts and the figures that that's factually brilliant, because I would assume that the people that are making the decisions, the consumer buyers out there that are buying your wonderful products, are predominantly women.
So let me quickly share a fun fact, if you will indulge me for a bit.
Yeah, of course.
So back in 1916, so Clorox was founded in 1913, but in 1916, our first GM of Clorox Bleach, you know, his wife, her name was Annie Murray. She is the reason why you and I use bleaches today. So back then, bleach was used only for commercial purposes. And she was the visionary who had the idea to say, hey, there are other uses for bleach beyond just commercial. And so she was that visionary who did that. And that was a woman, right? So, you know, one of our first GMs. And so when I think about just a rich legacy around women empowerment, and you think, you know, Women's History Month this month, amazing. And just to see, to have that, to be able to tell that story and many other stories across at Clorox, tremendous.
Women's History Month. This episode we're taping it early in the year of 2024, but it is going to air during Women's History Month. How is that going to be? And now that you said this goes back to your DNA of the company, women making decisions that help set it apart, because what would have Clorox been without the bleach leading the way? You know, so many great products have followed. Women's History Month. What are you planning in terms of celebration and honoring at Clorox Company this year?
Sure. No. Thank you for that question. And what I will say is that we, you know, it doesn't take Women's History Month for us to celebrate women's history. It happens all the time, right? In how we develop and lead and nourish our teammates across the globe. We have 13 ERGs at Clorox, and our show ERG, our biggest ERG, is centered on women. And they have done tremendous work in creating rich experiences that promote professional development, that create safe spaces for women to really think about how they can manifest great careers at Clorox, how we can interpret what success looks like, and finding ways to accelerate careers by thinking about different opportunities. And our Clorox Show ERG helps us do that. Lots of programming happening across our show ERG, speakers, lunch and learns. I remember last year, myself, Linda, and some of our Stacey Greer, we all sat and did a breakfast with leaders across the company. And so we talked about our experiences as women leaders, but we also talked about the work that we do and drive at Clorox. And so great opportunity there. And, you know, when I think about, again, going back to Show has a mentorship program, one of the few ERGs that have a mentorship program at within Clorox. And I've seen the results on the board around how folks have really started their career in one location in this particular function. And, you know, 10, 5, 15 years later, they're doing something else. So when you think about Clorox and the breadth and depth of our brands, I also think about the breadth and depth of our careers and, you know, starting off in marketing, but moving to sales and maybe ending in corporate affairs, lots of opportunity to grow and develop across the globe. And so I truly respect and really appreciate the vastness and the richness of our work and progress in that area.
So you're a year and a half into this journey at Clorox, Shanique. Talk a little bit about transparency. Does Clorox put out every year an impact report or an ESG report or a combined ESG impact report? How does that work?
Yes, we have an integrated annual report. And so again, when you think about looking at ESG and DEI integrated into the business, I think it's better when we think about how do we go to market as one company, as one face, integrating that work, right? And so having a impact report or ESG reports, nothing wrong with that, but we want to integrate that work into our business because it's part of our business. It's not something that's set aside. And so we, in our annual report, there's a section that focuses on our people and our work around DEI and IDEA and ESG that we are proud of and we're working to close gaps every day and every year. So yes, we share that here.
We talked a little bit about the diversity and the wonderful, you know, way that you're that women are really getting their rightful turn at the wheel at Clorox. Talk a little bit about impact. What does impact mean inside Clorox? What does impact mean outside, social impact mean outside of the walls of Clorox?
Sure. It's, you know, thinking about how we can use our scale and our influence to really be great citizens of our world. And social impact to me begins with people. And so how do we support our people internally? And when I think about our social impact programs across philanthropic efforts, we have our gift program. That's our employee matching programs. And many companies have employee matching programs, so not unique to us, but we are proud of our engagement. We've seen upwards to over 50% engagement in our gifting employee giving programs. We have, we match our employees' contribution up to $2,500. And so this is a way for us to illustrate our commitment to the community and giving our teams the opportunity to give of their time, of their money, of their resources. We have some teams that really offer to some nonprofit organizations professional services, right? And so you think about ways to give, and certainly folks want you to write a check, but sometimes they just want your brain and want your ideas, and we lend ourselves that way. When I think about some of the other work that comes to life externally, 2 years ago, we created what we call a Healthy Parks program. And it's basically around really looking through environmental justice through the lens of healthy and clean parks. And so how do we create green spaces where they may not be green spaces and enhancing communities and the work that we've done there, partnering with the Oakland community or communities in Durham, North Carolina, in Atlanta, Georgia. And so that work, you know, manifests itself in so many different ways. We offer grants that we give to organizations working within our pillars, the areas that we support, from, you know, from environmental to human rights and everything in between. And so, again, I believe when you are as big as we are in size and scale, in, you know, share a voice in terms of how big our brands are, it's a responsibility. We have a responsibility to pay our way in this world through our giving efforts, through how we work to build our communities where we live and work. and pay that forward and give our employees an opportunity to do so as well.
You know, Shanique, where do you draw your inspiration in terms of both the work that you do and the importance of the work that you do, and also benchmarking when you're looking at Clorox and thinking, okay, here's where we are today, but we could always be better. Where do you look for benchmarks? Do you look at other consumer product brands, or do you look to other industries as well for benchmarking on your important diversity and impact work?
Sure. Well, the first you've asked about inspiration, and that's a very easy answer. I get my inspiration from my children. Oh. They are my North Star. And so what I do for them is and I want them to be able to come up in a place where they are able to pursue and dive into new opportunities and think about how they can have their impact in the world. And so that is at the forefront of what I'm always thinking about, is just like, how can I make the world better for our children, your children, the children of the world, and work that way. How I draw my, you know, how I work, you know, certainly looking at different industries, looking within our industries, but really truly understanding, you know, where are we in our work? How does it connect with our Ignite strategy, and looking to close those gaps, right? And so, yes, I can find great best practices across industries or within other consumer product companies, but I also know what we're looking to solve. And so, right, these are never cut and paste experiences. Right. It's about really thinking about what are the needs of our business and our people and the people that we serve through our consumers and our community, and looking to close those gaps that way. And so that is what I do. And so when I think about our gaps, then looking to find opportunities to grow and develop. How can we do this better? How can we plus up this? How can we evolve this? How can we maybe discontinue something because it's not really adding the value? And just really continuously evaluating the work, knowing that we're trying to make this systemic change and grow. You know, the one thing, you know, that I maybe would share, I love the opportunity that I have here at Clorox. And last year was afforded an opportunity to travel with my VP of sustainability to Ghana. And we did some responsible sourcing work, or at least looked at some of the responsible sourcing work, right, of our team. And so Burt's Bees leads an initiative called the SheKeeper program, which really champions women-centered agriculture, economic empowerment, and commerce in Ghana. And so Nikki and I traveled to Ghana with our Burt's team and really saw firsthand the work that we're doing to really create a better world in Ghana, and really think through not only the value in terms of building community, but also commerce piece, and really empowering women to be self-sufficient and independent and being business owners and leaders. And so during that trip, we had a chance to visit six communities where we saw beekeeping happening that were spearheaded by women. We saw how our shea kernels, which is a huge ingredient we use in our Burt's products, how shea is harvested. And so we saw how they transacted business. We saw how the shea was harvested and created. So it starts from a nut, and then it goes through all these different processes and ends in what we see as a shea that's then used into our products at Burt's. And so that opportunity and that experience was revelatory in really just being able to connect and being proud of the work that we do at Clorox, because you saw that manifest in such a real and material way in Ghana, and truly a proud moment for myself, for Nikki, to see the community impact as well as the economic impact.
So you have 18 months behind you. You have your learning curve is now down. Obviously, it was down, I'm sure, very quickly, but let's just say it's that really down now.
Sure.
And now we're going into this 2024 and beyond. What are projects and initiatives? Are you now, you know, Ghana's amazing. That's an amazing story. What are you excited about that you're working on this year and beyond that you could share with our audience today?
Absolutely. You know, and so when I came into Clorox, one of the first things I did was just like took a step back. So nobody wants someone to come in and say, hey, we have to do this, we have to do this, we have to do this. And so, yeah, it's like, no, I want to spend some time listening and learning. And again, there were amazing programs in place. You know, I came, and so I you know, have not authored all these great things that have happened at Clorox. I inherited these things, right? And so we are in a place of evolution. We're a place of evolving, I like to say plus upping. And so looking to find, you know, the work that we currently lead, how can we enhance? And then also really, again, putting it through that lens of, are we still solving for this? Are we utilizing the best resources? How can we drive systemic change? So change that is not just something that happens one time, but it's lasting and sustainable. And looking at that, you know, I spoke to the passion of our teammates and giving them, you know, and the excitement that they come with. And I'm trying to bottle up that excitement and then redirect in places where we need more support, right? And so thinking about how can I utilize my huge team, which is the entire organization, to then move on different areas within our idea work. And so allyship is something that we're looking at and creating an allyship framework to say, here's how we do allyship at Clorox. I talk about how do we decenter ourselves to center other people? You know, how do we take our insiderness and bring folks in from the margins inside who are outsiders? And so how do we do that? How does that come to life in a workplace, right? It comes to life through mentorship. It comes to life through sponsorship. It comes to life through making a space, giving people an opportunity to express themselves. And so excited to see that work come to life. Last year, we launched IdeaCon, which was a week-long takeover of all the idea work that we've done. We did it in tandem with the launch of our strategy that we spent about 6 months working on. And it was a moment in time where we gathered our employees from across the globe. We had, I think at the end, more than like 30 plus events. We had external speakers coming in. We had folks from our business talking about how our brands integrate with IDEA and ESG. And it was a tremendous opportunity for learning, but equally a tremendous opportunity for networking and community building. And in a place where we're, you know, folks are coming back to the office more consistently, we want to create those spaces where folks are excited to come to work, right? Not only for the work and that they lead and their teams, but what other experiences can we offer at Clorox that would really resonate with our teammates in this idea of a great place to work, a great place to thrive, and a great place to grow. And so really excited about what's ahead for us.
I love it. And for our listeners and viewers to find Shanique and her colleagues, they can go to www.thecloroxcompany.com. Shanique, thank you for joining us today. I want you to feel very free to come back on our show and share your continued journey at Clorox. This is really important and impactful work that you're doing. I'm so grateful, not only for your time today, but I'm so grateful for all the work that you and your colleagues are doing at Clorox. And especially, I'm really grateful that you're making the world a better place.
Thank you, John. Thank you so much for having me. I would love to be back, maybe back next with, you know, our head of sustainability. Lots of good work happening at Clorox and, you know, grateful for the opportunity to be able to share that good work and progress. Thank you.
This edition of the Impact Podcast is brought to you by Engage. Engage is a digital booking platform revolutionizing the talent booking industry. With thousands of athletes, celebrities, entrepreneurs, and business leaders, Engage is the go-to spot for booking talent, for speeches, custom experiences, live streams, and much more. For more information on Engage or to book talent today, visit letsengage.com. This edition of the Impact Podcast is brought to you by ERI. ERI has a mission to protect people, the planet, and your privacy, and is the largest fully integrated IT and electronics asset disposition provider and cybersecurity-focused hardware destruction company in the United States, and maybe even the world. For more information on how ERI can help your business properly dispose of outdated electronic hardware devices, please visit eridirect.com.